Blog Talk Radio.
It's your boy, Uncle Leroy Jr. coming in, holding it down live for the Sports Chatter, Sports Talk coming in every Friday at 7 p.m. And man, big ups to the Ed Robinson Show on that intro music. It got me all pumped up, and man, do I have a show. It's I have a wrestling star, man, who's came up from the trenches, so I won't hesitate to get him on the show. But man, he's gonna be on to give us a big shout out about his life, his wrestling career, and what scope things in his life. But man, am I crunk. Once again, it's your boy Uncle Leroy Jr. coming in Sports Chatter podcast show. So on Friday, once again, Friday 7 p.m. But if you haven't joined our group, Facebook group, it's called the Sports with Friends, Sports Talk with Friends. That's our Facebook group. Join it. Big things popping. Got great things going. But, man, just about to get things going. About to get I just got music coming from everywhere. Hey, what's up? This Uncle Leroy Jr., who we got on the line?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How's it going?
It's going all right. This is DeMarcus Rashard.
Okay. Great. Big ups to you, man. And I do appreciate you for coming to hang out with me. How's it going for you this evening?
Man, it's going good. I'd like to say thank you, brother, for giving me the opportunity to be on your show.
Oh, nah, no problem. That's what we're here for. That's what we do within our Facebook group, Sports Talk with Friends. We try to put a platform to connect everyone together. And, especially if you're in sports, definitely get that out there, because that's what we're about. So big ups to you. So how long you been in wrestling?
I've been wrestling for 11 years. Started off in 2007.
Man, that's like 11 years ago, huh?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. But so where you calling from?
I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas. That's I like to call this my second home. I'm originally from Kerrville, Texas, an hour away from here.
Okay, big up. I was down there in San Antonio at Fort Sam Lackland area. So you familiar with that with around there?
But not really. Like, ever since I moved up here, I only go to the places where I'm like booked at. So I really don't know like certain areas of San Antonio.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Chase the bag. That's what, you don't make dollars, it don't make sense. So,
yes, sir.
I like that. But, what shaped you as a child? Where did you get your influence from as a child?
Man, growing up for me, I always watched, I remember when I was like a baby, I can recall watching Sting and the Great Muta and Ric Flair. I was always a WCW boy. So those are my main influences in professional wrestling.
Man, that's what's up. Like, I was a WWF, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man. But
yeah,
that's what's up. Sting gonna be out here tomorrow wrestling.
Yeah, man, that's the only person I haven't got to meet, and that's my hero, is Sting.
Real spear?
Yeah.
You
like,
met
that's,
real
that's
life?
One of my heavy influences. Yeah. I would love to meet that guy one day.
Okay. Well, all right. That's cool. Since, you're telling us about, your wrestling career. So, how did you get started wrestling?
Well, actually, I first started off, I was doing MMA with Gladiator Academy in Kerrville, Texas. And we had to do a grappling tournament, and we used a wrestler's ring. And the wrestling company was called Miraculous Wrestling. And I've always wanted to be a wrestler. So, while everybody left after the show, like after the little MMA thing going on, I stayed and watched the pro wrestling, and I broke into the business like that.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So, you know, what was like one of the hurdles that you had to overcome to get in wrestling?
Basically, just sit down and be quiet. That was one of my big hurdles, is that when everybody gets in the business, you think that you're a star. So I had to go through certain hurdles, well, not really hurdles, but certain situations that would make me become more humbled and grateful in the pro wrestling.
Wow. Man, that's strong words right there, because we all have humbling moments, you know, just in different industries, different environments, different arenas. So, but, you know, tell us one of yours that strike out the most, like.
There was one that struck out the most with me is there's a wrestler by the name of Danny Donovan, and he's an old school guy. And the first time I ever met him, I can honestly say this, that I didn't know what I was doing, and I accidentally broke his nose and with a chair, actually. And for him to be such of a old school legend, he took care of me in the ring, but didn't beat me up, but took me to the side and spoke to me. Then the second time, he lied to me and told me that I had a hit after me in wrestling and not to touch. Yeah.
Wait,
that fired me up a little bit. Yeah.
I watched wrestling as a kid, and all I could think about, you know, is when two wrestlers in a ring and then, like, the whole NWO just come from the back. Like, is that some type of hit? Or, you know, tell me about the hit.
Well, basically, if you're in a business and if you can't get right, there's always going to be somebody that can get you right. I mean, that's two ways you can stay in the business. Either, like, you can sit down and be humbled, or you can get your ass beat up out of it. And he wanted to take the time because a lot of people always saw me as doing something good. So he wanted to fix it where I didn't have that moment ever in my life. So I always wanted to, like, thank him for that. And the funny thing is, he just barely told me this last month after 10 years that it was all a lie for me just to calm myself down and not to hurt anybody no more. So
wow.
That's a crazy moment right there.
So how many people have you hurt then? Now, that's got to be the next question.
Ah, man, I haven't hurt too many people. I think I make sure we put on a good show. I always want to try to keep my bridges right with every wrestler that I work with. I mean, because, like, especially now, last year, I came back last year at this moment fresh out of prison, actually. And last year I had to build everything back up that I had ruined before I went to prison.
Wow. You know, like I say, you came up from, I didn't know you came up from the trenches, then through the jungle again. Like, what did you learn from losing all your fans and having to build them back up?
I really can say I didn't have any fans at the time. Like, I had a few of them, but, like, my main thing was, like, when they did put me, I can't say they put me there because I made the mistake, but when I was there, I wanted to do something to where I came back and everybody would, you know, be like shocked and amazed, but improved on who I came. So I had to drop the whole gangster gimmick and just came back as, like, you know, something way better in shape and stuff like that. And that now the fans look at me as like a more of an inspiration, like, since they found out the whole change from what I did and how I am now.
Wow, so, you know, they look at you as redemption. So, you know, that's mm-hmm. awesome in itself right there. Man, so you've had humbling moments in the ring and outside the ring.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So, you know, we're not even tapping the surface of things that's when, you know, obstacles you went through in your life. But as right now at this point, what would be something that, you know, you give not just aspiring wrestlers, but anyone that came from came from the streets or came from the same path that you've come from?
Well, like right now, I'm representing all the people that everybody thinks that's bad. you know, and like the Marcus Rashad character, he's still like going through his little stages where everybody likes him. But my main focus is like I'm representing everybody that's out there in the streets that done gave up on themselves, or that man that's in the prison cell that really hasn't done no wrong but just made mistakes. But they still need a hero too, you know, and that's who I represent. Even the outcasts, the kids of the outcasts. Like that's my whole goal is to inspire every color and race, but I'm inspiring those who are failures, who are pointed to as failures. That if they see me doing my thing, it should be a sign that he done been through everything I done went through, so I can get my stuff together, you know, and that's the whole goal for me right now.
Wow. It's like you got the whole world, the weight on the world on your shoulder. That's, you know, that's heavy weight to be carrying right there that you're saying you're representing.
Yeah.
So,
well, I like to always tell. Yeah, go ahead.
So how do you stay focused? Like, how do you, like, you know, because I hear the passion in your voice, you know, when you're telling me, you know, and I get it, I understand. But, you know, just trying to make sure, you know, speak what you're saying, what you're doing, what you're asking for. So how do you stay focused on that goal with all these distractions?
Man, to be honest with you, I got like cousins and I got friends that I locked up, and so when I get letters from them, and the first thing they set up and say is like, you putting on for us, keep going for us. Even like some of them may not be able to come home, and some of them may do come home, but it's still like a victory for them. So I gotta stay focused for them, and for my kids too, but. Like I said, like it's my main focus is for people to like to see me. It's just like what was his name? Life Jennings. Remember him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Remember on his video, Must Be Nice at the end, that old man when they show him singing at the Apollo and everybody in jail is happy that he made it. That's some of the people that's 90% of the people that I gotta make sure are happy. You know what I'm saying? So That's why I stay focused so much like that.
That's very important. And any success is a support system. And that's what, you know, and that's what really keeps anyone focused, because, you know, we break down and, you know, at our lonesome, and we need to be picked up sometimes. So that is remarkable. So big ups to you and your support system. So is there anyone, you know, you might want to give a shout out that's, you know, that's a part of your support system?
Yeah, it's a lot of people that support the system. If it wasn't for CJ, TWA Wrestling Association, for giving me my chance when I, like, right when I came home last year, I mean, nobody would know about me. Shout out to Brandon Outlaw Wrestling, Scott Summers, JC Bravo, everybody in Texas right now that's letting me, last year, let me just bring back the passion in wrestling. Like, I want to give a shout out, but more importantly, I want to give a shout out to Sal, you know what I'm saying? Massive, the biggest cruiserweight in Texas. He's went through the same thing I went through, and I look at him as like one of my heroes. So to get to know him on a personal level, that's greatness right there to me.
Well, you know, that's good, because you know in anything, even much in, you know, in your industry, in corporate world, in anything, you should always have some type of mentor. Someone that's going to reach back and show you the ropes. You may think you know the ropes, you know, but just like in college, you learn knowledge. You learn book knowledge. Uh-huh. You get out in this world, you get wisdom. So, yeah, you know, that's a big thing. So, like I say, big up to your mentor that's allowing you to know him on a personal level. Man, that's some good stuff right there. But, you know, back to your wrestling. So, you know, what's your entrance music like? When you come on the stage, what's your music? What do you listen to?
Oh, right. Man, right now, I'm coming out to OT Genesis, Push It. I'm coming out to that right now. Yeah.
Okay. So why did you pick that one?
Man, well, I wanted to wear, when I come out, whether I'm a bad guy or a good guy, you still got that party vibe, you know what I'm saying? That I'm coming from the streets and I'm representing, I ain't going nowhere. So when you see me talk about Push It, I'm pushing it to the limit, you know what I'm saying? And that's the first thing I want everybody to see. Like, he ain't going nowhere. He pushing it.
Okay,
that's
okay. All right, so what's your wrestling name?
I stole my oldest son's name, DeMarcus Rashad, and then turned to my wrestling name.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I had seen something like a tree stump. Like, is that one of your moves?
Oh, no. I do a lot of strikes. Right now, my main move that everybody right now, last year that's tripping out, they call it a rolling blockbuster, but I like to name it Booney's Boom. Like, all my signature wrestling moves are named after people that have passed away. So, like, Booney's Boom is after my grandma Booney. I have a front flip leg drop. They call it the Houston Hangover, but my version is called Murphy's Fade. That's to my cousin who died. I just came up with a new submission named after my Uncle Pat. He's still alive. Shout outs to him. I called the Mad Trapalock. And then next month I got a new submission called the Willie G Lock. So I try to make sure that I got
too?
Huh?
Is that after someone who died too?
Yeah, the Willie G. The only one that's alive is my Uncle Pat, but the Willie G,
okay,
that's after my uncle.
Man, I'm telling you, don't get no signature move after me. I'm telling you, it's like I'm talking to the Grim Reaper.
No, I just want to keep their names alive. You know, if a lot of people don't understand, like when I'm doing something, like if I post something and I'm always saying Booney, we in here. She's been gone since I was like 13, and she always told me I was gonna be a wrestler. So like me saying Booney, we in here. Yeah, me saying that is like. It's like telling her, she ain't went nowhere. We in here.
Wow.
So that's
wow, man. You got a lot of stories, man. Like, man, you really been through some things, sounds like.
Oh, yeah. But they just make you better.
That is very true. That is very true. So, you know, what struggles you had during childhood that maybe prevented or delayed your early success?
Certain people not believing me and putting me down, even from my surroundings, like my neighborhood. There are certain people that would make fun of me. I remember one time I had an incident in sixth grade. I don't even say the teacher's name, you know, and all blessings to him. But I remember we had an incident where Mr. Carthauser, we were doing a you fill out what you want to be. And I remember I've always wanted to be a wrestler. So I go in there and I write down, like, I'm going to finish school and I'm going to move to Denton, Texas, and I'm going to go to wrestling school up there. And I remember I was reading it in front of the class, and he told me to wait, and he was laughing. And I remember he told me, do you really think you're going to make it outside of your environment? And I remember that, like, hit me hard. And I remember sometimes when certain people told me that I wasn't going to make it in wrestling, I actually believed it. Like, I honestly did. But the fire would never die out.
Wow, that's very impressive.
So I'm proving him wrong now.
Okay. Wow, man, that's good. That's good. But so you know, back to your wrestling career. So, do you have like any memorable matches? Anyone that maybe that you remember, or something you took away from these matches?
Oh, man, I want to say, like, last year was my year of redemption, and my favorite match that stands out to me is wrestling at Anarchy Championship Wrestling in Austin, the pre-show match, because I still follow them, but I remember 10 years ago watching them, and just that's my WCW, that's my ECW. Like, you know, if I don't make it nowhere else, as long as I make it to Anarchy, was a big deal. And I remember getting a chance to wrestle there, and they got a picture of me.
What?
And it's a picture. It's on my Facebook where I'm at the turnbuckle and I'm smiling because I'm telling myself, like, I can't believe I made it there. You know, it's a big deal to me as a person to be in ACW in Austin, because that's the maker to me, like the big deal to me. That's my WWE to me.
That's what you have to have goals. You know, one thing people don't understand is they get up to bat and they shoot for the fence. They swing for the fence. You got to at least, you know, have a goal to make contact. So that's awesome. You know, you lead there, you never know what goes next. But so when you have these matches, do you mainly be the bad guy, or do you be the, on the good side? Because how does that work? Because I always wondered as a kid, because it was like, I see the Undertaker, he'll be fighting with the good guys, then I see him be fighting with the bad guys. I could never understand. So how does that determine?
It determines on how you are, because like right now, in the city of San Antonio, except for when I wrestle for Branded Outlaw Wrestling, and Branded Outlaw Wrestling, I'm like the underdog. I'm a good guy there. But like in TWA, PWI, two of the luchador companies I work for here in San Antonio, I'm like the biggest heel. Like these past two weekends, I've had fans try to fight me. I had a boxer a week ago tried to fight me during a battle royal. And I'm not going to lie, like I'm one of the best heels right now. If I got people trying to fight me, then the next night we go over here on the east side to do a show for PWI, and I come out and I got a woman, she's trying to fight me, because I got a habit of walking up to the fans and throwing your hat and telling them to come fight me. Like I'm doing everything. I don't have to call you a cuss or anything like that, but I'm there to to disrespect you. And like it's getting out of hand, man.
So how do you, because, you know, like, well, I know you can't go into these matches, or how do you prepare to play this role? I know you can't, you know, be going there listening to gospel, you know, listening to neo soul. You have to play the bad guy. So how do you prepare yourself to be the bad guy?
I'm not even going to lie. With the Marcus Rashawn character, I just think about all the times how everybody put dirt on me. Like how every time everybody told me stop and I wasn't good enough. And then I just go out there with anger. And the best character that you can be is yourself 10 times what you can be in real life. So turn the volume up all the way up and let the world see who you are.
Okay, so I think I get it now. So you see, when you turn to this bad guy, you got all these submission moves and you just put them all to sleep. Like, cause how does that... Because, you know, everyone that's the... Okay, I'm bad. Like, I won't ask you that one. But
I choked the dude out though last week, so I ain't gonna lie.
And what was the name of the move you put on him?
I call it the Mad Trap Lock. It's a variation of the anaconda choke, but I hold it with a German bridge hold. You have to see it for me to explain it, but I just invented that move. So if I start seeing other people,
is it after someone who's dead?
No, sir. It's after my uncle that's alive, the king. I can say that. My uncle's the king.
Okay, we got to get some alive people that you do some submission moves on. But you're going to have to share that video in the group, the Facebook group, Sports Talk with Friends, man. You know, we definitely want to see that, because this is our second time having, you know, a wrestler on our show. So last week it was Ruthless Lala. This week we got DeMarcus Rashad. That's
my big sister, man.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So, did y'all ever wrestle?
She beat me up last month, ever since she's retired. But when I came back last year, I kept making this to get her in the ring. And I went to her wrestling company, Total Championship Wrestling, and called her out. And she hit me with a spinning neck breaker. But I'm gonna get her back. She knows that for a fact. she's one of the legends.
Yeah, when I first met her, she was sizing me up, talking about she could take me. I'm like, okay, now, okay, young bull. But I didn't know she'd be able to put a spinning neck kick on me. But you know, shout out to her, Ruthless Lala. Big ups to my little sis. You know, once again, you know, big ups to her. But yeah, man, you know, we still got DeMarcus Rashad. You know, we going live. But, yeah, man, so one, you know, a few more questions, but I'll give you a chance to, any more people you want to shout out to or anything you want to tell the listeners?
Oh, yeah, follow your dream. Don't let nobody hate you. Don't let nobody's hate bring you down to the point where you're in a depressed moment, because if they hating on you, that means you're doing something good. And I'd like to give a shout out to my little brother, Zarek Baldwin. It's pretty crazy that I ain't never been to Dallas, but I'm on a Dallas podcast, you know, and show love to everybody. I like to do this too. if there's anybody out there listening and you want to be a professional wrestler, I advise you to come to San Antonio, Texas to try out Hybrid Wrestling School. That's one of the greatest wrestling schools going in today here in San Antonio. Shout out to the head trainer, Chris Marvel. We also got Texas Wrestling Academy, who also trained Daniel Bryan. That's Rudy Boy Gonzalez. That's his school. So I want to give a big old shout out to San Antonio, Texas Wrestling School. Because we, I mean, they're going strong. So one love to them.
Bet. All right. Well, that's cool. But before I let you go, you know, I've got to get you involved in some things that we do within our group. So we have a hot topic that we do every week. And this week it was, did you see the, I can't, man, it breaks my heart to say it. I'm about 30 minutes out of suicide watch. But did you see the New Orleans Saints game and the Minnesota Vikings?
Hey, this is hard to believe. I know that I'm a black man, but I don't watch nothing but pro wrestling and MMA. I don't know nothing about no football or basketball, bro.
Oh, man. Oh, well, hey, well, big up to the next podcast show, because we're going to have a MMA fighter, so she's going to be on with us next week. But, man, that is crazy. You don't watch any type of sports. Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's see, because I had some other questions to ask you on some sports trivia, but no, you didn't definitely change the game. Or we're going to have to get some MMA questions out there.
Yeah, let's go ahead with that one. We can do that all day.
Okay, but still we do sports trivia within our group, and we have two winners of the raffle this week for the $5 Starbucks gift card. So I need you to pick a number from 1 to 10.
8.
Hey, okay, well, thank you. That means Teddy, you're the winner of our free $5 Starbucks gift card.
Oh, yeah, shout out to Teddy, dude.
Real, because you gave him, you gave him something pretty cool. But, man, we about to get our closing out, so this should do with Uncle Fester kicking it again on the Sports Chatter. Don't forget to tune in every Tuesday, 6:30, if you won't get your sports on, to the Ed Robinson Show. And every Friday, you know, I come with that dumb. Never know who's going to stop in and hang in with me. This your boy, Uncle Leroy. I got DeMarcus Rashad, and I'm out.
All right.